Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 10. We learned back in the Bible Institute to never let a bad situation go to waste when it comes to testimonies and such. Now, Pastor Folk accused me of being sensational and exaggerating, but I'm going to make a statement that in the past 24 hours, perhaps the most bizarre event that I was ever involved in happened. My brother-in-law, this is Nikki's older sister's husband. She attends First Bible, fine Christian woman. His name's Rob. I call him Hercules. He graduated a couple years ahead of me and Mary. And he's in the gym 6 days a week, good shape, not overweight, strong. He took his dog to the vet to get the nails clipped. Well, the dog wasn't too thrilled about that. So when the vet was going to clip the nails, the dog jumped up and scratched Rob's forearms. In 24 hours, he was in the gym, and he started to shake, and he started to sweat, and he started to lose his breath. In 30 hours, he was on a ventilator. He's still on a ventilator. At Strong. He got that flesh-eating disease from his dog on a ventilator. No less than 15 bags of stuff going in his body, tubes in every place they could be in and out. They sliced his forearms open and rinsed out the milky bacteria and left them open and packed them with bleach packs. That was last night. They're going to do that again today. And I'm sitting there looking at this man that 24 hours earlier was like Hercules. And here's what came to the thought for some of you that remember S.M. Lockridge, a preacher back in our day. He said, folks will say, well, I'll just get right at the end. And this is what S.M. Lockridge said. He said, whoever told you you were going to be able to crawl up in a dying bed? As you live, so you die. You might not get that opportunity. And we don't know what a day brings forth. And man, we need to keep our accounts short with God. If you're not saved, you ought to get in. Your own dog scratching, superficial scratches, nothing like mind-boggling. And there's the man, his wife. That surgeon said, are you religious? She said, yes. She said, you better call someone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for my brother-in-law, Rob. I pray for our folks would keep him in your prayers, Lord. Maybe it'll get his attention for you. And Lord, I just pray for Mary and the family, his sons. Lord, that staggered me. Help us to enjoy every breath. Help us not to take for granted another day. Bless your word here, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. That's not very inclusive, is it? Or it's too inclusive. It's not very non-inclusive. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know not his voice, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Oh, that's a sermon. Maybe I'll preach that. Do you know the voice of strangers? This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, thank God. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? In chapter 8, Jesus rejected those that were rejecting him. Now, let me say this. If you go to hell, you'll go by your own choice. You don't get to... I don't know if you remember, Brother Jay, that one big talk about Hercules. We were downtown. I said, what do you... His eyeballs were gray, Aaron. Of course, I thought I could whip the world back then. And I looked at him. I said, what are you going to tell God when you stand before him? He said, let's put it this way. I think I could talk to the man. That's what I used to think, too. Well, you know, God, man, I'll get by. You don't get to... Believe when you see. You must believe when you can't see. For by grace are you saved through faith. You got to make your decision now. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You got to decide now. Listen, hell is truth realized too late. You reject Him now. He said in Revelation, He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. You'll be filthy for all eternity. In chapter 8, He rejects those that reject Him. In chapter 9, He receives the blind man that received Him. And I didn't elaborate on this last week, but I like the way he sought for the blind man. It said when he heard they cast him out, he sought for him. We hear a lot about seeker friendly today. We build entire ministries around supposed seekers. And we give them what they think, we think, they think they want. They want a bar. They want a theater atmosphere. And we'll give them what they think they want, but then when they come... We'll give them what they're really looking for, but don't realize it. We'll build a ministry around seekers, much to the spiritual detriment of the finders. Now, I'm not for a second questioning anyone's motives to bring people to Christ, but I think the ministry ought to be built around the seeker that came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus sought for this blind man. Jesus came to see. He's the seeker that I'm looking to please. He's the seeker that I'm looking to minister to. And here's what I think. I think you accomplish both with that attitude. That was my case. I was a genuine seeker. I didn't realize it. But I wasn't seeking what I already had. I had already found what I already had. I already had the flesh. I already had the razzle-dazzle of the world. But when I found something that I didn't have, that was totally different from what I did have, in a place attempting to please the seeker, this seeker found something. Jesus went looking for the blind man. The blind man got a little bit of light. He just anointed his eyes, go wash, he did. And then he said, do you believe on the Son of God? Who is he? He got a little light. I want to say this, if you're struggling, if you're growing up and you're 12 and you're 13 and you're 15 and you're 17 and you're not sure about this thing, don't shut the door on Jesus Christ. It took Nicodemus the entire book of John to finally get it. Leave the door open. Don't make hard decisions. Well, I'm getting out of here as soon as I can. Give God a chance. Chapter 8, he rejects those that reject him. Chapter 9, he receives a man that received him. And in chapter 10, now he's going to make a contrast. Let's look at the contrast. Verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and the robber. Verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. See the contrast? Look at verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door, if there's any questions, of the sheep. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Let's put up that PowerPoint, if it's not already, Jesse, let's put that up there. We're talking about a sheepfold. A sheepfold is basically a pen for sheep. Sometimes it's wooden, many times stone. We read over there in the Luke, the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. And many times they would construct these things. And there'd be a door where the shepherd would stay. So it only makes sense for a sheep to go in and out of the sheepfold. You got to go through the... So Jesus is painting a picture here that his audience would understand. To get in with God, you've got to go through the door, and I am the door. Some say, well, which door? It depends who you ask. If you ask a liberal theologian which door leads to God, talk about worldly wisdom to me, they would say any door. All doors lead to God. In fact, you don't even need a door. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm the door. You know, sooner or later, you got to get past the point of believing in Jesus to believing Jesus. And when you start believing Jesus and proclaiming what you believe, you will be labeled as an intolerant, non-inclusive, religious bigot when you say there's only one door. They don't like that. But here's what I don't like. That indirectly, when they say there's more than one door, they're calling my Savior a liar. Don't you dare respond and say there's only one door. Listen, if Jesus said there's one door, you know how many doors there is? Say it with me, one door. And if you get up there or you publicly say, no, there's more than one door, I'm going to say, no, there's not. There's only one. He's done too much for us to remain silent. And we don't help sinners by telling them what they want to hear. Which door is it? Well, any door. Which door is it? If you ask a committed religious people, they'd probably say the church door. Which church? Depends on which one they're in. I've been thinking about those Baptist briders. They say they can trace their church right back to John the Baptist. Which I got a little bit of an issue with. If you put so much emphasis on baptism and the local church, yours, that can trace your authority and baptism all the way back to John the Baptist, I guess your founder is John the Baptist. And you put all that emphasis on John the Baptist, guess what? We have no record in the Bible John the Baptist was ever even baptized. That's kind of crazy. You ain't joining this church or taking the Lord's Supper without baptism. Well, your founder wasn't baptized. My founder was baptized. You say, who's that? The door. The door. And here's another problem. John 19, they said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He said, we don't know if there is any Holy Ghost. What were you baptized? John's baptism. That's the wrong one. Which door is it? It's the Baptist brider door. That's not what Jesus said. That Bible will get you in trouble. Stick with the Bible. Before I got saved, my church, it was like the sacrament door. Now, and I know things have changed a lot, but man, when I got saved and Brother Jay was dealing with me, I had a Catholic Bible at home this thick, man, with all, not just the Bible, not just the Apocrypha, not just all these added books, but in the back was a regular reference library. And I'll tell you what, they could say what they want. If you weren't in that church and you knew about that church, you were damned. Council of Nicaea, Council of Trent. Now, you know what they said? If you're going to get through, you got to come through our door. Which brings a big problem. Because the one that I grew up in and 80% of the other ones in the town I grew up in have shut their doors. Our Jewish friends would probably say it's the synagogue door. Our Muslim friends would probably say it's the mosque door. The Mormons would say it's the temple door. Jehovah's Witness would probably say it's knocking on doors. But you know what Jesus said? I know this is elementary. I am the door. So he's either the biggest fraud or he's worth following. Not only is he the door, but then he says, I'm the shepherd too. See what you get with him? You get it all. Bible calls him the good shepherd, the great shepherd. Peter calls him the chief shepherd. And he's not only standing at the door in Revelation chapter 3, knocking on the door of the church, knocking on the door of your heart. He is that door. Contrast, John chapter 10. You know what the contrast reveals? Religion confuses, but Jesus saves. Man's religion will put 10,000 requirements on you, and when you're all said and done keeping all of them, you have absolutely no assurance of knowing God and living with Him eternally. Jesus Christ puts one requirement on you. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You got to go through the door. And you know what you get? One requirement, 1,000%. Assurance. I'm glad I got assurance today. How many people we used to see downtown? You say, well, I used to be saved. Man, you're either saved or not. Now, you might be backslidden in bad shape. Now, as Bible believers, we must take the Bible literally unless we can't. And I taught this up till yesterday in my studies this way. We must take the Bible literally unless we can't, which in this case we can't. Because Jesus isn't saying, I'm a 36-inch slab wooden thing with three hinges on a frame when he calls himself a door. But yesterday, after 37 years of reading and studying the Bible, I got a bright idea. I'm going to look up the word door. Bing! In the old dictionary, first definition, an opening or passage into a house. We would call it a doorway. Second definition, the frame or boards or any piece of board or plank that shuts the opening of a house or closes the entrance. Look at that picture up there. Jesus covers both. He is the way in, but He's the door. He is the door. He is the way out of this world, the only way out, and He is the door to God, the only door. I'm going to get to my conclusion now because I'm not sure you're getting it. Because there's an attack today on anything concrete, anything absolute. Listen, Jesus is the door. And if this crowd isn't going to stand up and say, no, there's not more than one door, there's only one door, who's going to stand up and say it? Don't let them call your Savior a liar. There's only one door. And if not, what are we doing here? How can a man be a door? Let me illustrate. A woman woke up one night realizing her house was on fire. Evidently, a neighbor had already seen it and had called the fire department. So about the time she woke up from her stupor, choking and blinded with the billowing black smoke and flames all around her, feeling the heat of those flames, about that time the fireman smashes the window up on his ladder to be greeted by a plume of flames and black smoke, and he's hearing the woman's screams, and he says, "Make your way over here." And she said, I can't find the door. And he said, "No, I'm over here at the window." He's halfway in, halfway out. He manages to get a hold of her wrist, and he realizes she's resisting. He said, "Don't resist." He said, "Come." She said, "I can't. I'm going to die. I got to find the door. And finally, in frustration, the fireman says, "Lady, I am the door." That's the picture he's painting. The door to God is a man. And His name is Jesus Christ. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Remember the show Our Age here? I think he just passed recently. The show Let's Make a Deal with Bob Barker. Oh, I love the show. I knew I was conservative early on because I would always say, "Take the money. Don't give me that," whatever they call the louse or whatever. Even though door number one and door number two and door number three looked all the same, you couldn't choose the wrong door and still get the big deal of the day. You couldn't take the buyout and still pick a door. There was only one door that had the big deal. And I hope it's not irreverent to say, from being a lost sheep through the door to God, through Jesus Christ, man, I hit the big deal of the day. Buffett is a pauper if he's not saved. If he is saved, he gets the best of both worlds. He's not happy. People go shopping for God's man, and to people they all look the same. Till you go through the door. And you don't want to go through the wrong door of death. You need to go through Jesus Christ. Now look at the contrast. Look at verse 1. "Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not..." Here he goes again with this non-inclusivity. "Not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief in a robber." Wow. If I were to arrive home after church on a Wednesday night and saw someone attempting to climb in through the window, if it wasn't Zach locked his keys in or something, I would assume that was a thief or a robber. And what Jesus is saying is, all these leaders of His day, in verse 8, He says, "All that ever came before Me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." These leaders, they're trying to get their followers to God, but they don't know God. Why? They didn't go through the door. Therefore, God classifies these religious leaders as thieves and robbers. You know what a works salvation does? Why does He call them thieves and robbers? What are they stealing and robbing? glory from God. A works salvation steals glory from God by nullifying, watering down the payment that He paid for our sin. Get Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. He lays it out right here. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 14. It said it there this morning. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Is that 2:21? Yeah, there it is. I'm sorry. Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now think about this. They had a works set up. They had a works structure. 613 laws, I think it was. Do you think that God or man would send His Son to suffer for sinners, to be beaten for sinners, to be crucified for sinners, to go to hell for sinners, and in the end, if you could just get to God on your own anyways? Why would God go through all that if we could just keep it the way it was? All doors lead to me. No, they don't. And you know what, if you believe that? You're a thief and a robber because you're robbing glory from God. You make the cross of Christ of none effect. Jesus is just my little gesture for mankind. Do your best. Light a candle. Don't kill anyone. No. Our sin has locked us out, and I'm glad I got the door. Not just the door, the one with the keys. So the Good Shepherd stands at the door, as the door. The old spiritual said, He's so high I can't get over Him. He's so low I can't get under Him. He's so wide I can't get around Him. I got to go through the door. You thankful for the door this morning? I think there's 230-some doors in the Bible. I'm thinking about doing a mini-sermon, a mini-series within this series, looking at the door, like the door of your mouth. We can start with that one. Anything short of going through the door isn't going to get you to God. You say, preacher, you're preaching to the choir here. You're preaching to people that know this. No, number one, I'm not preaching. Everybody doesn't know it. And number two, we're living in a day when that's going to be outlawed. He's the only way. You can't say that. And you can come up with some religious hocus pocus or some system of do's and don'ts that earns you some credit to get to God. And Jesus said, you are a thief and a robber. Because it steals the impact of the cross. How would you like to be charged with the punishment of nullifying the cross of Jesus Christ? That's what religion. We're not talking about an evil lifestyle here. We're talking about religion. I hope some of you young people have more than religion. You don't have to wear beads and a cross and a mitre to be religious. You can be religious right here. That means you go through the motions, but you haven't been through the door. I'm done. But I'm going to say it again. The buzzword today is inclusive. And anything else is labeled hatred. And you and I have to make a decision. And your indecision is a decision. Will we get past believing in Jesus to believing Jesus and become part of the remnant that stands against the tide of lies that says all doors lead to God. No, there's only one door. And to declare anything else is to call him a liar. Pick a side and earnestly contend for the faith. He's the only way. And we don't do sinners a favor by telling them anything but. And if you're going to have to get with God and you're going to have to get a hold of God, because we are living in a day when, like no other, that message is not accepted. Let's stand. Jason, come and lead us in one song of an invitation.